This is Ellie from the Come Read With Me team. Chris and David are currently working on season 4. So until then, check back each week for bonus content from the guys, including sermons, teachings, and an upcoming Q&A. This week, we have one of Chris's sermons from the archive. Enjoy.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Getting better. Good going. When was the last time that you stayed up all night? Now, perhaps some of the parents in here might be like, every day. I know I can be like one of those. But what I mean is, when was the last time you were perhaps out on holiday or you just felt like staying up and you stayed up through the night and you watched the sunrise? I remember as a teenager thinking to myself, you know, I've never really done this. I've never really stayed up all night. And so I decided to do it with some friends. And it's a kind of a carefree, youthful thing about hanging out with friends and chatting and staying up all night and watching the sunrise. It feels like kind of like a rite of passage. I remember being in Ireland and on a beach, a lovely beach in Ireland. But we always go to a place called British Bay, and I was a late teenager. And we sat on the sand dunes, and we stayed up all night, and we watched the sun come and rise over the ocean. And it was quite amazing. And I don't think you ever get bored of watching the sunrise. Whenever, you know, the workers in London, when they go to work during the winter, if they clock it just right, you always see kind of people on their way to their jobs just stopping on the bridges and watching the sunrise. It never gets boring. It's quite a wonderful, it's a powerful thing. Now, last year, I was staying in a Benedictine monastery. Hey, no, super holy. And it was called Worth Abbey. And I went there and I got up for morning prayer, which was before the sun rose. And I was praying with the brothers there. And then after we prayed, I went to my car to put something in it. And I just saw the most amazing sunrise. Anyway, it was astounding. You know, you go out and everything starts to change. As the light hits, everything changes from this darkness into this period of light. And it was so powerful. C.S. Lewis said, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." I'll say that once more. I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it, I see everything else. Our gospel passage today has this at the beginning. Very early on, the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. A new dawn has arisen upon the world. It had just happened, both metaphorically and physically. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has changed all things. The world, once clouded in cloaked in darkness, bound by sin, is now entering a new age, a new beginning. And the Bible uses this imagery of light and darkness, of sunrise, of the dawn, so often. There's this wonderful passage in the Bible called the Benedictus, which is said every day in morning prayer. And it's Zechariah's prophecy about John the Baptist. And Zechariah is prophesying about what his son John will do and how he will be a forerunner to Christ. And near the end of this kind of song, this, the Benedictus, it says this: "Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." Another translation puts it like this: "Through the heartfelt mercies of our God, God's sunrise will break in upon us, shining on those in darkness, those sitting in the shadow of death, then showing us the way, one foot at a time, down the path of peace." I love that. God's sunrise will break in upon us. Now, if you go outside, the sun has started to shine again, at least recently. Yesterday, it was quite a beautiful day, and me and the family, we went to the Tate Britain. We took the girls and Jack, and we went around the Tate Britain, and then did a bit of a walk and went to Hyde Park, and it was a beautiful sunny day. And have you done that thing when the sun is just set and it's up and it's beautiful, when you just kind of turn and you allow yourself to bathe and you feel the heat, make sure your eyes are closed, but you kind of, inside your eyes, it's all light and you just feel the heat of the sun. And the requirement of you to experience that is simply to stand in front of the sun. You know, you need to go outside, you need to not be in a shadow, you simply need to find a space where it's between you and the sun, and all you have to do is stand in front of it, bathe in it. The requirement is simple, just face it. And in the same way, our response to Jesus' death and resurrection is to simply come to him, to believe in him. And as we believe in him, we bathe in his resurrected light. We are cleaned, we are forgiven. A few weeks ago, we read that famous passage from John's Gospel at the beginning, where Jesus has an interaction with Nicodemus, the Pharisee. And we have the famous John 3:16, which is sometimes called the Gospel in miniature. It's a simple verse. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." You all know that passage, I'm sure. But the passage before it is often not quoted, and it can seem quite obscure. It says this: "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." And this refers to, as I spoke about a few weeks ago, this refers to the Israelites grumbling before God that he didn't give them food and he wasn't really taking care of them. And God was annoyed and he sent these venomous snakes into their camp, and they repented and they asked God for forgiveness. And God said to Moses, "Make a bronze snake, and whoever looks upon it, whoever looks upon this bronze snake will be saved." They did not need to touch it. They did not need to hold it. They did not need to have any other interaction with it other than simply to look upon it. And in that way, they were healed. And, you know, I love that Moses was like, "Oh, they only have to look upon it. I'm going to raise him up." And, you know, he wasn't told to raise him up, but he did. He lifted him up. He was like, "Everyone, look." And everyone was able to look at this bronze snake, was healed. And just as their commitment or their reaction, their kind of involvement in that was simply to look upon this snake and be healed, our requirement in to partake in Jesus' death and resurrection is simply to believe in him, to believe in him, to turn ourselves to Christ, to see him. And in doing that, we are saved. And John in his gospel loves the image of light and dark. And this is what I'm thinking around today. This kind of new dawn was this title that I gave this talk. And in John 3, after John 3:16, which we just read, it says this: "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And this is the verdict: light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil." Again, this image of light and dark. Isaiah 9, quoted in Matthew's gospel, have these wonderful words: "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." I think the imagery of light and dark, the imagery of a sun rising and changing everything in its path, is useful because it's all-consuming. It kind of helps us as humans in our kind of anthropological state to understand massive change. You know, the other imagery that's useful is life and death. And that's what we have as well. Life and death. Jesus passes through death and becomes alive again. These are vast changes that are going on in the world and in us as humans. Death is reversed. It's defeated. Life triumphs. Jesus rises from the dead, rises from darkness. Having faced it, he defeated it. And all who experience him experience this rising too. This rising to new life. And as I was writing this, I was just kind of reminded of that famous and kind of weird passage from Ezekiel, the valley of the dry bones. This is about death, but it's not just death. It's like a vast death, a whole valley. A valley that gives this image of darkness, a valley that is deep and cut into the rock, this valley where not just one or two are dead, but a valley of dry bones. Like, imagine it. It's as if a whole army has been hugely defeated and fled into this valley, this pit, this darkness, and there they've just died. And they haven't been buried. They haven't been, you know, looked for. They simply died in a pit in a valley, and this massive death consumes them. And God brings Ezekiel to this valley, and he says, can these bones live? And Ezekiel it's kind of funny. He's like, only you know. Because he just doesn't know what to say. He's like, everything in him is like, of course not. They're not just dead. They are bones, dry bones in a valley. I mean, it is the imagery of just consuming death and destruction, of desolation. And then God says to him, prophesy to these bones. Says this in Ezekiel, the hand of the Lord was on me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor. It's a valley of bones. They were very dry. And he says this, they were very dry. And he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? And then he says, prophesy, speak out that they will indeed live again. And he raises them up and he breathes into this vast army. And it's like these bones start knocking together and flesh and sinew and everything comes upon them. And suddenly they are raised. And it's this great image of this vast resurrection. The resurrection of the Son of Man means nothing good is lost forever. All will be restored. All will be made even better than it was. What was lost will be found and filled with glory. For death, sin, the flesh, the devil, all of those things that seek to take and destroy and divide, all of them have been overcome. They have been overcome, defeated. Death does not win. Death does not have the ultimate say over you, over your family, for friends or loved ones who've died. Death is defeated. So where have you lost? Where have you been hurt? God knows this. He sees it. He loves you. And he says to us all, a new day has dawned. And it is dawning. Bathe in this light. For Christ is this eternal light. Revelation 21 records what a new heaven and a new earth will be like, where finally all will be made well. And it says this. This is from John. He sees this new heaven and this new heaven. He says, I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. There is no sun in heaven, because the glory of God is the light that shines there. The light that will beam and consume us and fill us and radiate from us. We are consumed by it, and we will be able to see because of the light that lives in us. The light that is shining from the glory of God all around. Now, often in sermons on Easter Sunday, preachers and pastors try and convince you of the evidence of the resurrection. And I just believe that you believe that. I believe that you know that Christ is risen. I don't need to convince you of how the disciples were immensely changed from being these kind of despot, kind of fleeing people to being people who would give their lives for this belief. And that's such a sign of them having seen Jesus, or the way you can trust the scriptures. This isn't a sermon about we can believe in the resurrection. I feel like that's for outside. You are the people of God in this church. And today, what I'm trying to get you to understand again is what it means for you. The magnitude of what Christ has done for you and for me and for all of creation is beyond your understanding. It's vast. It's like a sun rising, moving the whole world from darkness into light. Bathe in it again today. Stand in the light of Christ again today. Let it shine in you again. Because God has done it all in Jesus. And together we can say, Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Hey guys, this is Rev Chris. Thanks again for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it and been blessed. If you'd like to support me, then you can head to my Patreon, and the link is in the bio. God bless.